up here, and some of y'all have been wanting to come up here and straighten up boxes. How many has been wanting to come up here already and say, I did that for your benefit? No, it's good. I like it. I kind of like some chaos every once in a while. But anyway, how many of you in your life have ever felt trapped? Whether it be like physically, someone like literally duct taped you to a chair. Anybody been there? In youth ministry, we like to duct tape people to the wall. I've never personally done it, so, and I don't condone it around here. Was it you that did it, E? Yeah, it was E that duct taped. It's a fun game, really. We don't leave them there too long. But what am I talking about? Oh, feeling trapped. Either physically trapped, maybe been in a tight spot. I've always had this, I don't like tight spots. When we were kids, I was out playing with some of my friends, and they decided to crawl through this culvert down through there. And it was just, you know, big enough for you to fit through it. And they were going down through there, and I stuck my head in there. I said, no, I ain't doing that. If I can't, like, move my arms, I just get all antsy. Anybody there? Anybody with me on that? Don't like tight spaces. But sometimes spiritually, we get claustrophobic. Now, to be claustrophobic is basically a fear of no escape or being closed in. And sometimes spiritually, we feel like we're closed in, like we're stuck in a certain spot and we can't get out of it. We don't see the escape. We don't see the way out of where we are at. And so kind of what we're going to be talking about today is figuring out how to get unstuck in our lives spiritually. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. How many of you brought your Bibles today? How many of you brought your YouVersion, iPhone version of the Bible? All right, sweet. The Droid version. There's lots of people going to that. I really enjoy it because, you know, you always have your Bible in your pocket. Always ready to go on it. If you have an iPhone or smartphone or whatever kind of phone, I encourage you to get YouVersion on there. It's pretty amazing. It has like reading plans and all kinds of stuff. I love it. I use it every day for my reading stuff. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 12 today. Let me read this to you. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It's talking about a spiritual veil that they just don't quite understand what Christ is all about. It has not been removed because only Christ is to take it away. Even to this day when Moses is read, the veil covers their hearts. But I love this. It says, but when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. We're able to see the blindness, the spiritual blindness goes away. And we're able to see clearly what's going on in our lives and what God wants us to do. You know, this happens, you know, the first time when you put your hope and trust in Jesus Christ, say, Jesus, be my Lord. That's when it first happens, when you turn to Christ the first time. It's like a whole new world opens up to you, and you actually can understand the Bible a little bit, you know, a little bit better. But I think there's certain times in our Christian walks that the veil is still there. And we need to turn to God and let Him take the veil off and let Him help us see what's going on around us in our spiritual lives. Sometimes we feel stuck. Sometimes we get in that place where just, I don't know what's going on. I don't know how to get out of this spot I'm in. Turn to God. Let Him take the veil off of your eyes. Open yourself up to Him because He wants you to grow. He wants you to exceed. He wants you to keep moving forward in your Christian life. But it's the spiritual veil that comes across us sometimes. Let me finish reading this. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory and are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. He's talking about growing in the Lord, growing in your relationship with Him. I love how it says that. It says we're being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory. It's a continuous thing. There's never a spot in our lives where we can say, hey, I'm here. I have arrived. You know, I'm spiritually it. You know, we can never say that, because there's always another part of God that we haven't even thought of yet that He wants to show to us. Take us to that next glory. Let us see a little bit more of Him and continue to push you in your relationship with Him. You know, I love to study people. I'm a people watcher. Any people watchers out there know what I'm talking about? Some of my favorite classes in college were my psychology classes, just getting into the mind of people and seeing why people do stuff. And my favorite, though, was abnormal psych. Anybody out there? Abnormal psych. I love it. It's, you know, the extreme cases, you know, the schizophrenia, the, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And it's just amazing, you know, what all is out there. You know, it just, you know, blows my mind. You know, what happened? You know, your brain is so powerful that it, you know, it can trick you and deceive you and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, that was my favorite class was abnormal psych. And one of the things I like to watch is human tendencies. You know, we all have like little patterns, little things that we say, little things that we do that, you know, kind of routines. And, you know, I don't like to judge people with this. It's just kind of one of those things that goes on in the back of my head. I don't purposefully do it. But, you know, you see someone keep, you know, doing the same thing. You're like, why do they do that? You know, why do they keep just doing that same thing? You know, why do they always park in the same parking spot? Or why do they do this? And we all have these little tendencies in our lives to kind of do the same things all the time. And, of course, I'm a routine guy. I mean, that is me. I do the same thing every day. I mean, if I get out of my routine, I'm in trouble because I don't know what's going on anymore. You know, I wake up, take a shower, eat breakfast, read my Bible, wake up Ella, feed her, get her ready, go to work. I mean, it's the same thing every day, and I like it. I mean, that is just me, you know. It's just, you know, if I get outside of that, it's like, what's going on? Okay, what's next? I don't know. I like to plan stuff. Anyway, enough about me. But one thing, you know, we have tendency to do, we have certain phrases, you know, that we like, little sayings that we use. And you really don't realize you're doing it, but the people around you definitely know. They definitely realize your little sayings. I mean, I know I have them. I don't know what they are. My wife tells me every once in a while, like, hey, now listen, this is what you've been saying all the time. You need to change it up a little bit. But when I was growing up, I used to go with my dad to church on Sunday mornings. We would go up there early and, you know, turn on the lights and the air conditioning, all that stuff, and get everything ready. And we'd listen to this preacher on the radio. I don't remember who he was. It was a local guy. But he always had this phrase that he used like 20 times in a sermon. And he'd be going along, and the phrase was, to be able to be. And nothing wrong with the phrase. I mean, it's a great phrase, but it's like he said it all the time, you know, and we sit there and count. Like, that's like the fifth time he said that in 3 minutes, you know, and you know, we just have these tendencies to say the same things over and over. But I really like to listen to pastors and youth pastors. You know, that's kind of my gig, you know, and I don't know. But it's funny that the phrases that pastors and youth pastors use, I love going to youth conferences to see the latest thing that a lot of the youth pastors are wearing. You know, all youth pastors think they're cool. It just comes with the job. They think that they're cool. No matter what, I mean, I realize I'm not cool. I know that. I've realized that. My wife has told me several times, like, you know, those clothes that you wear, they're not cool. You need to do something else, you know, and she's not here. I can pick on her. She loves me. I love her. You know, it's great. But she keeps me going in the right direction. Any witnesses out there, guys? Your wife keeps you going in the right direction. But like the latest one we went to Genesis, and some of the things that I heard people say, oh, man, that service, it was off the chain. I'm like, off the chain. I didn't know there was a chain anywhere. I mean, like I said, I'm not cool. I don't know these stuff. I don't know these phrases. And one guy come up and says, man, that worship, man, it melted my face off. I was like, what? It melted your face off. Okay, if you say so. Face looks the same to me. But yeah, I love going to conferences and stuff and just seeing the different trends. And that's kind of my side project when I go to... I really do pay attention when I go to conferences. I promise you, I do. But it's funny. A lot of youth pastors, you know, it doesn't matter how old they are. They all dress the same, except me, apparently. I've always dressed like this. I don't know. I think I'm stuck in the 90s. You know, you got the nice khakis, button-up polo. I mean, it's just me. I don't know. But anyway, you know, they have like, you know, the coolest jeans and like these wild shirts on. I love seeing like the 60-year-old youth pastor that walks in that has like this crazy looking shirt going on, wings on the back of it. And just like, wow, where did you even find that shirt? Apparently there's a special youth pastor store that I'm not aware of that I need to find. But another one I hear, in a certain stream of pastors, one of the phrases that I've been hearing lately is they're getting preaching real good and they're going, you know, a lot of people are like, amen. And they'll stop and they, somebody call somebody, you know, and I'm like, I'm in service. I can't call anybody. You told me to turn off my cell phone. And you know, they mix it up. They throw different words in there depending on what's going on. I was reading on Twitter yesterday, one of these guys, and he was like, you know, somebody interview somebody. Somebody Ferrari somebody. I'm like, what does that even mean? I mean, I don't get it. But we have these, you know, little phrases that we use, and, you know, it's all fun and stuff. In society, we have some, you know, buzzwords is what they call them now. Even buzzword is a buzzword now. That's what it said on Wikipedia, at least. That's where I get all my good information is Wikipedia and the Bible. Can't go wrong there, right? But, you know, buzzword is a buzzword. But some of the buzzwords, you know, they say, like, you know, we need to jump on the bandwagon. You know, we all need to get together and jump on the bandwagon, okay? That's kind of an older one. You know, March Madness is coming up. There's lots of bandwagon fans that drive me insane. They're like, oh, yeah, North Carolina, that's the team that's going. When they lose, like, oh, no, they're no good, you know, whatever, they're horrible. Now it's, you know, Arkansas State. They're not going, but, you know, whatever. You know, that's my school. You know, I'm an Arkansas State alumni. I'm more of a Razorback fan, but I am also an Arkansas State fan. They never play each other, so it's good. I never have to root against myself. But, you know, you have the bandwagon fans, you know, that just jump from different team to team and until they finally get on the championship team and ride them on out. Another one big in the 90s. I said I was stuck in the 90s, but paradigm shift. Anybody remember paradigm shift when that was big? We had like three people. He remembers too. Seven Habits of Highly Effective People was, you know, that was the big phrase in that, you know, you need to change the way you think, you know, change the way that you view the world and have a paradigm shift. Another one that was really big was think outside of the box. How many times have we heard that? We got to think outside of the box. We need to get out of the box. And well, when you get out of the box, where do you go? I mean, if you're not in the box, you're out of the box, but what are you doing? What's outside the box? And, you know, it's like boxes have got this bad rap. Like, what's wrong with a box? Boxes are good, right? I mean, good things come in boxes. Now, let me geek out a little bit real quick. I told you I wasn't cool. I'm officially a geek, okay? Geek is not a bad thing. It just means that you're really interested in a certain thing. It's usually some kind of technology thing. We've gotten a few of these in the past few days or the past few weeks, and I've enjoyed so much playing with them, learning how to use them, how they work, and, you know, any new gadget that comes out, I'm like, ooh. Like the other day, we were sitting on the couch, and I got an email on my iPhone, and it came from Apple, and it said, the iPad 2 coming out March 11th. And I was like, ooh. I showed Miranda that, and she's like, so? I said, why do you care? You're not getting one. It's like, I know I'm not getting one, but it's coming out. It's cool. I got to have something to make me feel cool, because that's not me. But good things come in boxes. But you know what? I could have put this box on my desk. Everybody that walked in, be like, look there, got an iMac. Check that out. But it's not until you take it out of the box, plug it in, till it becomes useful. Sometimes we have to get out of the box that we're in and become useful. Because if I left it in the box, it would have been a great paperweight, a very expensive paperweight. It would not have served its purpose. And I think that God has certain boxes in our lives. I believe God has boxes in our lives. Let me mess these up real quick so y'all can really freak out. There we go. But I believe God has certain boxes in our lives that He wants us to get into, learn what we need to learn, and get out. There's nothing wrong with a box. Boxes are great. We store stuff in boxes. Some of y'all have a whole room full, storage shed full of boxes that are stuffed full of stuff that you'll never use ever again. But you got to keep it. And so boxes are great. But the problem is, lots of times someone will get in a box and they get comfortable. This one's not very comfortable. It's kind of small. But they get in a box and they get comfortable. You know, they set up their little bed over here in this corner. TV over here, catty corner, you know, so you can see it from any angle. Satellite on the top of it. And they get comfortable in the box. They make their home in the box. But you don't need to stay in the box. Because there's another box that you need to get in and learn and get out of. See, boxes are good. See, in our Christian lives, God has boxes that we need to get in, learn what we need to learn, get out, go to the next box. I'm going to talk to you about six boxes in our Christian lives. And what we're talking about in this series is spiritual growth. How do we grow as Christians? Are we called just to get saved and sit in the box? No. God doesn't want us to sit in the box and hang out and watch TV. That's not what the Christian life's about. But I believe there's certain boxes that we need to go through as Christians in order to grow and to become more like Christ and become more effective for Him. We're going to talk about six boxes. Not today. I got a whole month to talk about six boxes. So y'all going to have to look at these boxes for a whole month, all right? Cool? They'll go away after the service, so it's just Sunday mornings during service. Anyway, what are we talking about? Each box has good stuff and bad stuff. No, boxes are good. We said that. You know, good stuff comes in boxes, but sometimes you got to take it out of the box and go to the next one. So we're going to talk about the good things about these boxes and the bad things about these boxes if we stay too long. All right? The first box that we're going to talk about is this one right here. The crib. Now, this is the crib that our new baby is going to be in. I'm going to have to fix it first. Need some help after service fixing this? No. But anyway, you know, new babies are exciting when they come around, right? Everybody loves a brand new baby. You know, they walk in with a brand new baby and everybody's like, goody, 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 goody. You know, and just like, you know, they just, I don't know what, they don't say anything. You know, it's funny. It's good stuff. But everybody loves a new baby. They're exciting. You know, they're great to have that new bundle of joy in your life and just love it and hold it and feed it. And it's great. You know, one thing about, you know, before we had Ella, you know, I always heard people like say, you know, when you have a baby, man, it's just like this love. You know, it just opens up and it's just like crazy. And then you have your second one and you love it too, just as much as you love the other one. And you just don't know where. And I was like, okay, you know, I see that. I can understand that. But, you know, I didn't really understood it until we had Ella. And, you know, I'm a pretty loving person, I think. You know, I love people. I love my wife. You know, but when we had Ella, she was born and they put her in my arms. And I was just like, it's almost like a whole nother chamber of my heart just opened up. And just love just oozed everywhere. I mean, it was just, I understood that. I understood that now. I get it now. I mean, you're sitting there holding that wonderful baby. And it's just so amazing. And then you put them in the crib and that's where they sleep. And the crib's a good thing. But you know what? After about a month of that new baby, it's not so exciting anymore. Wake up every 2 hours, feed them, change them, clean them up. You know, you go to work, you got one of these looks on your face. Someone give me some coffee, you know. It doesn't seem so exciting anymore. I mean, it's still great. You still love the baby. It's, you know, everything's wonderful. But, you know, the excitement wears off and but you still got a baby. And as Christians, we all have to go through the crib. We are all spiritual babies at one time. The crib is great because that's where you put your new bundle of joy. It's amazing when someone comes to Christ. Has anybody ever led someone to Christ? That's one of the most amazing feelings that you'll ever have. Not that it's something, you know, selfish, but, you know, it's just such a fulfilling thing when you're actually able to pray with somebody or lead someone to the Lord. It's just like, wow, you get that brand new baby. But you know what? That brand new baby can't take care of itself. Just as your actual baby, you know, it can't feed itself. It can't change itself when it poops all over everything. It can't clean up after itself. It does nothing for itself but let you know when it needs something. Then you got to figure out what it needs. But just like that, spiritual babies are the same way. And there's nothing wrong with spiritual babies. It's amazing to have new Christians in this church or, you know, around you. It's amazing because you get to see the growth. You get to see them when they learn something new. It's just like, whoa, I never even thought of that. Man, God's so amazing. And it just blows your mind. I just love watching people grow up spiritually and just, you know, getting little glimpses of God. And it just blows their minds. Like, wow. And that's what it's like to have spiritual babies around. And it's great. But you know what? After, you know, 10 years, you don't want to, you know, be hand feeding your kid, your 10-year-old. You don't want to be changing any stinky diapers at 10 years old. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to have to do that to a 10-year-old. The same way spiritually, we can't stay in the crib all of our spiritual lives. We got to come out of the crib eventually. It's great to have the cribs around. We got to have cribs around for when the new Christians come to put them in there and we can hand feed them. We can be there for them. You know, when they're having crisis at 2 a.m, they can call you and you can help them through it. You can pray with them. You can be there for them. You can help them out. That's amazing to be able to do that. But if they've been in your church and been saved for 10 years and they're still doing that, there's something wrong. We need to learn to grow out of the crib. We need to learn to take care of ourselves. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go there real quick. I hear all the iPhones clicking. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. I'll give you all a second to get there. See, I've already got a bookmark, so I just jumped right to it. We should, like, email everybody the notes so you can just bookmark your scripture so you can just poof, right there. E, why don't you start that list, all right? Go. Y'all wouldn't understand my notes anyway. It's just crazy. That's Mark West's fault, by the way. He started me on that as mind mapping. And like someone will look at that and be like, some of y'all saw it on Facebook. Was it Thursday? You're like, what in the world is that? Anyway, what were we talking about? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. It says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. How many of you know the Lord is good? Somebody call somebody. The Lord is good. Can't believe I just said that. But it says, as babies, we need to crave the pure milk, which is the Word of God. We need to get in there and we need to be fed. You know, the elementary truths of what Christianity is all about. Because as spiritual babies, you don't know what to look for. You don't know how to read the Bible. You don't know how to pray. And you have to have someone help you with that. That's what the local church is about, to help you to grow. That's what life groups are about, so you can have a group of friends close by to help you, to help answer your questions, to pray for you, to be there with you. That's what the church is about, to help people grow up in their relationship with God. It says crave. I remember times in my life, it was actually my sophomore year of college. You know, I've been in church all my life. I've been saved since I was two, I think. I don't actually remember the day I got saved. But, you know, I was in church and, you know, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. And I don't remember a day. I mean, I can't have it on the calendar and say that was the day. I mean, I've been around it so much. But it wasn't until my sophomore year of college. I'm a slow grower. Don't hate me because of it. Slow growers. But in my sophomore year of college, I just remember a time where, I mean, I just couldn't wait to go back to my apartment and just read the Word of God and just soak it in. And just, God was just showing me stuff in the Word. And I was just like, wow, God, I've known that about you all my life, but I've never seen it like that. And it was just a time where I was just being fed and I was growing. And it was just an amazing time in my life. And we need to crave the Word of God in our lives, because that's what's going to make us grow, is putting the Word of God on the inside of us. At the beginning, we have to have people do that for us. You come to service, you hear a sermon. Maybe you listen to podcasts or CDs or TV preachers or whatever, but you're being fed. People are feeding you. There comes a time in your life that you need to learn how to feed yourself. You need to wean yourself off of someone else sticking it in your mouth and get in the Word of God yourself and learn to read and to study. One of the best things that I've ever done in my life was, before I start reading the Word of God, I just say, God, help me to understand. Simple prayer. It's amazing the results from that one little simple prayer. God, help me to understand. We all need to learn to feed ourselves spiritually. See, we're all feeding ourselves something. Some of us feed ourselves TV all day. Some of us feed ourselves sports all day. Or, you know, we're feeding ourselves something. We got to learn how to feed ourselves spiritually as well. There needs to be that aspect in our lives to where we take time out of our lives, sit down with God, and let Him teach us, that we learn from the Word of God. We got to learn how to feed ourselves. I forgot where I was at. Take care of them. All right, Hebrews. I had to go through my map there real quick. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. It says this, Hebrews 5, 12. It says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk and not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Now there's times that I crave a big old juicy ribeye. Can I get a witness anywhere? Big old fat ribeye. You throw it on the grill. Get it to where, you know, there's still some pink in the middle. If you do it right, you don't need steak sauce. Amen? It's hard to find a steak around here that you don't have to put steak sauce on. But anyway. But I crave that meat. Ella can't eat that meat yet. She's not ready for that. Now, we're cutting it up in little tiny bites and giving it to her, you know, hand feeding her still. But she's not ready to dive into a big old juicy ribeye yet. She's still an infant. Spiritually, we need to prepare ourselves to where we can dive in to the meat of the Word of God. Not just constantly just the milk, just the light stuff. And not that any part of the Word of God is light. I mean, it's all pretty, wow. But the way we understand it is light. And then we get into meat. Because let me tell you, I've read scriptures, you know, time and time and time again. And like every time I read it, I see something new. It's like, this is one sentence. How can I see something new in this thing? But it's God just revealing things to me about that scripture. So how do we grow out of the crib? Number one, like I said, we need to learn to feed ourselves. We need to learn how to get in the Word of God and study for ourselves. And the best way to do that is with God's help, because we can't understand it on our own. Just like he was talking about in 2 Corinthians, we have a veil over our face. It's only when we turn to God that he takes away that veil and we're able to understand. The Bible says that he uses the foolish things to confound the wise. There's lots of people that are a whole lot smarter than me that have no clue about the Bible. But it's when we turn to God and let him teach us, that's when we learn. We got to rely on him. Number two, we got to learn to clean up our own messes. You know, we're teaching Ella now to pick up her books, pick up her toys, clean up after herself. And she's doing great with it. But it's something that, you know, you're taught. But we got to learn to clean up our own messes. You know, we can't run to pastor every time we have a crisis and say, "Pastor, pray for me. Help me." We can't run to Jason every week and, "Oh, Jason, oh, this is going on in my life. I need your prayers." We need to learn to clean up our own messes. Go to God for ourselves and not go through somebody else. Now, there's nothing wrong with having someone pray for you. Nothing wrong with that. Here in a second, we're going to have our prayer team come up and we're opening up for you to come have someone pray with you. There's nothing wrong with that. But if that's all you do is go to somebody else and have them pray for you, then there's a problem. It's all about the personal relationship between you and God. It's all about the personal touch, the personal thing. To where you can go to God. See, I don't have a better line to God than you do. Or a pastor doesn't have a better line to God than you do. See, we're all on the same plane. See, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. But he gives us the righteousness of Christ, which is perfect. It's pure. See, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're in perfect relationship with God just like Jesus is. And see, at that point, you have direct access to God. The Bible tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace. He didn't say go through pastor. He didn't say go through anybody. He said, you come to me. We got to learn to clean up our own messes. We need to learn how to pray for ourselves. We need to learn how to go to God and say, God, I'm having trouble with this. Give me wisdom. Help me out. We got to learn to clean up after ourselves. Lastly, we need to learn how to talk. We need to learn how to talk. We need to learn how to pray, to have a conversation with God. To some people, that's like, man, that's super weird. Talking to somebody that's not there, you know, that's like that schizophrenia stuff you're talking about a while ago. That's that kind of stuff. No. See, God's everywhere. He's right here. He's in your car right now waiting on you. He's at home waiting on you. He's everywhere. You're not going to get away from God. The Bible says, if I go up to the heavens, God's there. If I go in the pits of hell, God's right there waiting for me. I can't get away from God. That's amazing to know. Because sometimes God feels like he's far away. Like he's out there somewhere and I'm like, how do I get a hold of God? So he's waiting for you to turn to him so he can take the veil away and you can see him and talk to him directly. We've got to learn how to talk. We need to learn how to pray. We need to learn how to go to God and have the conversation, able to hear the voice of God. Man, you're talking about some weird stuff today. You know, I've never heard physically the voice of God, but I know God has talked to me and I've known it right here. A lot of y'all have experienced that where God says something to you and it's just like, man, that's what we're doing. I mean, that was God. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The Bible says that Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice and they know it. They won't listen to the voice of the stranger. We've got to learn how to talk to God and be able to relate with God and be able to hear from God. Like I said, it's that personal, one-on-one thing that God wants from us. So the crib is a great thing. It's a place that we put our babies. It's a place we take care of our babies. But sometimes we got to get out of the crib. We got to get out and learn how to take care of ourselves. You know, it's great if you have a question to go ask somebody. It's great, you know, if you have a concern in your life to ask someone to pray with you. That's fine. But is that all you do? Are you dependent on other people for your spiritual life? If you were to move from Batesville, Arkansas to Michigan, where you didn't know anybody, would you be able to survive spiritually? That's the big question. We need to learn to grow up. Prayer team, go ahead and come up here. But I really don't have a specific thing that I'm going to call everybody up for or whatever. But I know God's been speaking to some of you through this. It's not me. It's God. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, using the Word of God. And some of y'all realize that, hey, I've got a veil over my face. I'm stuck. I don't know how to get out of this spot I'm in. And you know you need to get out of it. You're like, man, I want to move on. I want to get to know God better. I just need more of God in my life. Now's the time. These people are here to pray with you. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you need to take that first step in your spiritual growth, which is acknowledging Jesus, say, Jesus, you're my boss. I put you in control of my life. If you need to do that today, any of these people can pray with you. Or if you have any other prayer concerns or whatever, these guys are ready for you. So as we worship today, just come and pray with some of these guys.
Can we stand and sing together?
And your goodness draws me to your side. Your mercy calls me to be like you.
You are good. God's presence has been awesome in this place today. We believe that He has met needs in people's lives. And we believe as we go forth from this place, He'll continue to minister to His people. Father God, thank You so much. Can we just slip a hand up to Him today? We thank You so much for Your goodness to us. You've blessed us in so many ways today. Thank You for speaking into our lives, calling us from box to box to grow in You and to become like You. Bless Your people today as they leave this place. We thank You in Jesus' name. Everybody shouted, amen. Thank You for being here today.